This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders earlier broke major news about President Trump's summit with the North Korean dictator, Little Rocket Man Kim Jong-un, next week in Singapore. Take a listen.
I can tell you the president has been receiving daily briefings on North Korea from his national security team. And I can also tell you the schedule for tentatively for that first meeting will be on June 12th at 9 a.m. Singapore time and take place at June 11th, 9 p.m. East Coast time.
No matter what you call it, is maximum pressure still the policy of the United States toward North Korea?
Our policy hasn't changed, and as the president stated, we have sanctions on. They're very powerful, and we would not take those sanctions off unless North Korea denuclearized.
All right, here with reaction is White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, who joined us. Sarah, good to see you. Thank you always for being back with us. So from my perspective, this is really simple about North Korea. So far, we know that one nuclear test site is shut down. We know that he crossed the DMZ. He released three American hostages. He's willing to talk about denuclearization. And as far as I know, the United States and the president haven't paid a dime for any of that. True?
True. Look, the president has conceded nothing, and the sanctions that have been on place will continue to be in place. But as the president said on Friday, this is part of the discussion, and he looks forward to this meeting, and he thinks that it's going to be a very good and productive meeting, and it's going to be part of this process. But he certainly thinks that June 12th is going to be a good meeting, and he's certainly looking forward to doing that here in the next week.
You know, I think the president also is very smart in trying to manage expectations. Nothing is going to be signed next week, and this will go as fast or slow as North Korea wants. The sanctions remain in place. If there's another missile fired, we know that the president would then probably send our strike forces right back off the Korean Peninsula if need be. So it seems, especially when the president pulled out for a period, that he means what he says, and he is willing to walk away at any time.
100%. The president is extremely serious about this process, and ultimately he wants to see denuclearization of the peninsula. That's the top goal here, and that's what he's focused on doing. That's what the talks next week will center on. But he also knows that, as he said, this may take time. This may not happen over the course of one meeting, but several meetings. And this is the beginning of that dialogue, and the president is going to be committed and firm to it. And as he has said, we'll see what happens. But he has good feeling about how this first meeting will go.
Well, a lot of moving parts here. And I know you get the opposite side. You know, Democrats are, you know, trying to do everything they can to, you know, confuse the issue. Certainly, this is a very tenuous issue, what President Trump is embarking on. And for our Secretary of State Pompeo to, you know, set the table, so to speak, you know, President Trump would not be going to this meeting if things have not been set up in just the right manner. Also, look at what happened here with the firing of four top generals there in North Korea. What does that signal? And bringing on some younger generals, did Kim Jong-un need to have somebody in that military position that was open and supportive of doing something different that would get that North Korean part of the country out of darkness and bring them into the light to bring food to the people? You know, I think this is I like the way President Trump has been framing this in terms of a vision for North Korea and uniting the peninsula. Families that have been separated for all these years, could you imagine what's going on, the malnutrition, all that has been happening to bring North Korea into the 21st century? It's a grand vision, and prayerfully, and that's what I insist on, is that prayerfully, because we need to be seeking God in this and asking God to give wisdom to our negotiators and our president that this would be done in a most righteous manner and a winning manner for all concerned. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, that is our mission, to get this country back on track, and it requires all hands on deck. And thank you for joining in, sharing a part of your day with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour right now, Horace Cooper joins us, senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, co-chair of Project 21, National Advisory Board, and a legal commentator. Horace taught constitutional law at George Mason University in Virginia, was a senior counsel to the U.S. House Majority Leader at Dick Armey. Horace, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
It's great to come on the program.
Hey, I want to talk about Starbucks and so many other issues, but being a sense, you know, as the law professor that you are, because once you are, you always are. What did you make of the SCOTUS decision last night?
Well, the positive development for me was that the court chose not to reach the ultimate conclusion without a case on point. They were able to resolve this in a manner that addressed just some earlier case interpretations and not onto the primary constitutional issues. By that, I just simply mean they could have asked the question, can a baker or anybody refuse service to someone in a state that requires you to offer services to everyone regardless of their sexual orientation? Does that violate the Constitution? They did not answer that question. And today, there are not 5 members on the Supreme Court who agree that you have a fundamental protected right to not participate in any commercial activity that your faith rejects. There are not 5 justices on the court that say that, that believe that. And if they had been forced to answer that question today, I think we'd all be very disappointed.
So this is why the focus on the commission, the Colorado Commission, and not on the issue at hand. So that's therefore you get this what they call a narrow decision, though it was a 7-2 vote. So basically they chastised was really a commissioner who is no longer on that commission that made these rather aggressive statements accusing the baker, Jack Phillips, of being, you know, Nazi-like.
In this particular case, you can go back in time almost 40-some years where you'll see that the Supreme Court has consistently agreed that government actors, whether they're the county, whether they're a commission, whether they're the state or even the federal government, can't single you out for mistreatment or condemnation because of your religious views. In this case, for 2 issues, one being that the commissioner made very, very intemperate remarks, but 2, it was the fact that there were a few people who had done the identical thing. At least three bakers mm-hmm. had gone before that commission, and they had turned down the opportunity to make a cake for same-sex wedding, but they did so not because they were motivated by their religious views, but because they said this would be bad for their business. Mm-hmm. And the commission indicated that that was a neutral decision and that it didn't warrant a sanction. Only this guy who said, I won't do it because my faith tells me not to, received a sanction. The court said, one, you can't condemn in this way, and two, you can't act in this inconsistent manner. Now, that's long-term rulings by the court all the way back to the Lemon Test of a narrowly tailored restrictions on people's ability to exercise their faith. That is why this was ruled as a narrow decision. The only problem I really have is, why didn't two justices agree that that was the case? Why would two justices say, even if you're being treated differently, we still think that the religious-motivated person needed to be sanctioned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, and it leaves Jack Phillips in a rather precarious situation. Okay, you won the battle, but the war continues because, you know, he's eager to get back into doing wedding cakes again, which represented 40% of his business. He's lost all that income for 5 years, not to mention all the other costs that have gone along in dealing with this court case. This is not cheap, you know, going all the way up to the Supreme Court. You know, so it's cost him a lot, and he's led the way on this. And tomorrow he starts making cakes, and there's another gay couple that comes in, and we can start this whole shebang all over again.
I think in his case, probably the commission will be chastened enough that they spent all the money and all the time and lost, that they'll probably just say, we won't pursue him in particular. But this is brings to a broader point. When the Civil Rights Act that involves race and gender was initially passed, it exempted all employers with fewer than 15 employees. That meant sole proprietorships were completely exempt. And by the way, this is true today. There was this tension in America. We've always understood that if you have your own business, you should be free to choose who you will contract with or relate with and who you want. And there was a compromise. Let's just make large employers. And you may think 15 employees isn't large, but at the time of the passage of the Civil Rights Act, some 65% of all employers were exempt. The theory being, we're not actually saying you, Horace Cooper, are going to have to do this. What we're saying is, you Sears, you Mr. Exxon, you Mr. Woolworth, you are going to have to do this. The Colorado Commission actually had no employee number, and it just covers everyone. And so it does raise this question of how much government can intrude on the ability of individuals to make choices. And that's why you had two things here, religion and just the idea of can any individual artist be compelled to make any message over that artist's objections.
Exactly. Well, Horace, how is it, you know, fair when you are taking, you know, the right of someone else away? Whenever one right is abridged, somebody else's right is compromised, is it not?
Well, that's exactly right. And this is the problem of mm-hmm. this theory that we should breach nearly 250-year-old concept that individuals choose. One of the definitions of slavery was the idea that you were coerced to work whether you wanted to or not. Not just capturing you, holding you hostage, but just forcing you to work was considered under common law a form of slavery. It's involuntary servitude.
Exactly.
And our free enterprise system, for the longest time, reflected that people should be free to choose whether they want to or not.
Okay, we got to leave it right there. We got to go to break. More from Horace Cooper after this. Stay with us.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Welcome back. Howard Schultz is bidding farewell to Starbucks after 40 years. Been a great ride. I mean, I think when he joined the company, maybe a couple of dozen outlets now, thousands of outlets all over the world. It has expanded and has had a great ride, but maybe he's exiting just in time, Horace, for some of the most recent developments and how maybe they've mishandled some of these things here that could end up compromising the brand. What do you say?
Well, it does look like there's been more interest in the political ambitions of Mr. Schultz than the financial interests of his investors. I'm going to go with full disclosure. I'm a fan of the product. I enjoy being able to partake and relax. When I am on the road, it's a really, really useful outlet for me. At the same time, I've watched the shareholder value, and if he hadn't left, they might have had to change the name because they've already dropped $10, and it might have gone from Starbucks to no bucks with this idea that we're more interested in virtue signaling than building on a really great brand and making it a valuable asset in communities all across the country.
Exactly. Well, getting into this, you know, values arena when people, you know, go there, you know, for coffee, as you say, and what they have done, you know, to revolutionize the industry has been phenomenal, but questionable that they've gotten out of their lane a bit, don't you think?
Well, and there's been a bit of history of this from some perceived actions that look like hostility to Christmas, to the requirement that all of their employees spend a day trying to get a conversation about race going, and now what I think is actually unlawful behavior targeting their males and their white employees to remind them how bigoted and how inclined they are to engage in discrimination. These kinds of things have nothing to do with coffee. They have nothing to do with having a great product, and they can certainly tarnish your brand.
Yeah. What are you going to do in a couple of hours training? I mean, this is a culture issue, you know, and for them to take this on, you know, it, again, takes them out of the lane. But I guess to quiet this issue and this problem they had with this one manager in, you know, going to a couple of, you know, guys that were there that were not purchasing any product and they were waiting for somebody else. And, you know, you got emotions that, you know, raised up. And so now the results is, hey, we're going to have this racial bias training you know, day, and like that, as if that's going to really change the culture.
Okay, so Starbucks is an example of the type of employer that is, in fact, covered by national EEO rules. They have 8,000 different locations, and the Civil Rights Act contemplated these large employment circumstances. We want to make sure that no individual at those that isn't being monitored engages in renegade behavior. You see, the law never contemplated that if I went to a mom-and-pop shop, the Civil Rights Act, never contemplated that I went to a mom-and-pop shop and bought, it was a resale shop, and I bought a clock. It never contemplated that that entity was supposed to be covered by these rules. But on the other hand, Woolworths, with thousands of locations, it did contemplate that they should be covered, and the reason was, it wasn't clear that the CEO or the board of directors were engaging in this behavior, but some, a few of their employees might. Well, here's why that's relevant in this case. The Civil Rights Act actually doesn't say you may not mistreat minorities. It doesn't say that you may not mistreat women. It says you may not mistreat your employees on the basis of race or on the basis of gender. That means whites, that means blacks, that means men, that means women. In the case of Starbucks, their so-called bias training specifically isolates and targets a percentage of their workforce and identifies them as people who engage in discriminatory behavior. It relies almost exclusively on stereotypes to do this. This teaching teaching and training is no different than if you had a program where all of the employees were told, and they're thinking they can get away with this because everyone's in the room. Mm-hmm. All employees are told, beware, don't promote women to management. They're just looking to get married. Beware, don't promote minorities into positions, especially if they're Latino. They're ultimately planning on going back to their home country. If you were to do that in the workplace, you would be found in violation of federal law. And you can no more do that than you are allowed to say that males are more likely to be aggressive or engage in toxic masculinity, no more so than you can say that your white employees are likely to mistreat minorities without being aware that they're doing it. These are stereotypes, and that behavior of engaging in stereotypes in the workplace simply isn't allowed.
So after all this, and, you know, you and I have had this discussion many levels, many times, in terms of equal opportunity, you know, where we are with this divide. Certainly there continues to be a force that would like to maintain the civil divide that we have in this country because they're making a lot of money from it. But I also, what I am seeing, Horace, is people of all color, creed, are just saying, you know, I'm tired. I mean, after all these years of fussing and fighting, enough of this stuff. Let's just make it work together. This is the United States, after all.
Well, I think a lot of Americans are feeling this. A lot of purportedly a number of Starbucks employees are feeling this. They have posted a number of the materials that they were exposed to on some websites, and it is as ridiculous as it appears. Again, this is far more like virtue signaling than any particular activity designed to make sure customers have a positive experience. You may have activities designed to ensure that your customers have a positive experience. You may not target your employees on the basis of their race or their gender. The irony to me is this. There are so many progressives that insist, even though there is no federal law, even though there is no constitutional provision, that insist a baker, an individual, must make a product even if it violates his conscience, but are oblivious to the idea that men and whites in the workplace should also not have to endure stereotypes or maligning characterizations. And by the way, much of implicit bias training actually goes a step further and says, managers, you need to start punishing your employees differently. Punish your males, punish your whites for behavior that you won't punish your females and your minorities. This is the definition of discrimination by an employer in the workplace.
Wow. This is where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen, as we swim through these deep waters in trying to work this stuff out. Horace, you would think that we'd be further down the road in this, or that there would be some voice of reason that could break through this morass of confusion. Because meanwhile, you know, you got all these employees going back and going, what did we learn?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, apparently they learned that they are the epitome of all evil on the planet, which is a awful message for any group to be given.
Yeah, let's see how many people like Howard Schultz end up leaving the company as a result of this. Well, stay tuned for the details. Horace Cooper on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Horace.
Thank you.
This report is brought to you by Applebee's. Applebee's expands its signature 2-for-20 menu, 2 full-size entrees and a full-size appetizer to share for $20, by adding flame-grilled steak as an extra option to tempt everyone's taste buds. Starting on May 28th and for a limited time only, guests can enjoy a 6-ounce USDA Select Top Sirloin Steak as an entree option. By itself or in a delicious combo like the shrimp and parmesan sirloin, it will satisfy the biggest of appetites. And the best part is that you can share this with a special someone. Submit an image or video of your epic 2-for-20 proposal on Twitter from June 4th to June 10th using hashtag 2for20contest for a chance to win a date night at Applebee's. And if you don't feel like dining in, also for a limited time, enjoy 20% off $20 or more on your next Applebee's Carside To-Go order. For more, visit Applebee's.com. Price and participation may vary by location.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this, or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart.
The hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And you know we're givers, and anytime we can give you some great advice and ways to save, it's our gift to you. This is what we're all about. And of course, we're heading into the travel and vacation season, and it's getting into high gear with more than 60% of Americans planning to travel this summer, despite many traveling over half. Of Americans don't have a strategy when using credit cards to maximize their reward. Now, this often results in travelers not taking full advantage of all the cash back points and miles that they can earn for summer travel. And this is why we're so appreciative that Lee Abamonte joins us now, a travel expert and writer, youngest American to visit every country in the world. Lee, good to have you with us. How are you?
Bill, thank you so much, and it's good to be a giver, my friend.
Hey, isn't it? I mean, it's a way to live, I say. Hey, so what are your top tips for managing your finances in order to travel the world?
Well, as you mentioned, 61% of Americans are planning to travel this summer season, but few of those people actually have a strategy. Now, 40% of people not planning to travel this summer say that cost is the main reason. And so that makes me think that people need to develop a better strategy. And what better way to do it than to try to get rewards and points to travel for cheap or for free? Now, I always tell people that they should join all the programs, whether it be airline rewards and miles programs or hotel rewards and points programs, and they should supplement that with a credit card that fits their spending habits. For instance, the Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card gives you 2 points for every dollar spent on travel and dining and 1.5 points per dollar spent on every other purchase. Now, you can actually ratchet that up, if you're a Bank of America Premium Rewards client and get up to 3.5 points per dollar spent. And that's the way you really maximize your points and then maximize your rewards to get some free travel. And that's what people really should be doing as their strategy to travel cheaper and better.
Exactly. Well, you know, here you have traveled. I mean, this is amazing, you know, looking at your background. You visited every country in the world. How did that come about for you? I mean, was this something that you always wanted to do, or is it just it kind of started as a little bit of a lark, and then next thing you know, you go, hey, you know, one country, two country, let's just keep on going here.
Yeah, it's kind of the latter there, really, how it happened. I never traveled as a kid. Study abroad was my first exposure to traveling abroad. And basically when I came back from my year abroad in Europe, I just was kind of hooked. And then I had a regular job. I had a Wall Street banking job, and basically I traveled when I could. I was always fortunate because I was pretty good at what I was doing, so I was able to take some time and you know, go on trips for a couple weeks at a time, but I would generally go to multiple places in a trip, you know, in one particular region. Mm-hmm. And after I had kind of been to all the, I'll say, desirable places, then I started thinking to myself, you know, there's a bunch more countries out there that I don't know anything about and that nobody ever goes to. And I think it'd be kind of a fun goal to go to every country in the world. So you don't just kind of end up in Somalia one day. You have to make a real concerted effort to get there, you know?
Yeah, I imagine with some of the places. So along as you're traveling, you are discovering things about yourself. Tell us about that.
Yeah, travel is really the biggest and best way to kind of discover not just the world, but really discover things about yourself that you didn't even know you had. Mm-hmm. I would say the two great equalizers of travel are time and money, and or lack thereof. And so it's hard to get people to go to Afghanistan with you or to Iraq with you. Trust me on that one. And so sometimes you'll end up going there by yourself. And when you're in places like that alone, you kind of discover what you're capable of that you had no idea because you'd never put yourself in the position to experience that type of thing. So for me, it's just, you know, I don't like to say it was a journey of self-discovery because that's not really like how I am, but really it kind of is. And you just discover things about yourself and what you're capable of, and then you really start to think that you're capable of anything, and I truly believe that.
Kind of like the byproduct of every trip you take. You go with a certain idea of getting away, relaxing, but, you know, the world, people, the environment get in the way along the way, and it has a way of teaching us things, you know, that we need to know and a lot about ourselves. It alters your perspective without a doubt, I'm sure. So what advice do you have to share for those who are inspired by your story, Lee, and, you know, they want to travel like you do?
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, what I always tell people is set goals. Whatever your goals might be in life and certainly in travel, set goals. If you want to go to a particular place, look and see what it would take to get there. So if you're short on money, you know, focus on saving money and figuring out how you can get there for cheap. And then once you're actually there, saving money so you can maximize your experience. And do your research. Research is so important. And it's paramount in any trip that I plan because you want to know what's available for you to do, how much things cost, how long they take. And at the same time, you also want to be flexible in your planning so as not to be super rigid because when you get there, you might find something that you didn't read about online or nobody told you about, or you might meet somebody who you want to hang out with, or you don't like a place as much as you would have liked, or you like a place more and want to spend more time. So do your research, but be flexible, and really that's the biggest keys to a successful trip, but always have a goal in mind of what you want to achieve, because that's how you save your money and use it for something that's really rewarding.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about your favorite summer travel destinations and a specific summer travel story that may come to mind.
Well, I mean, I kind of like everything. I like the beaches, I like the cities, I like the mountains, I like the deserts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like islands. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Right.
So, I grew up going to the beach every summer. I'm from Connecticut, and I grew up going down the Jersey Shore. And now, as an adult, I like to go to the Delaware Shore. If I'm going out to the West Coast, I'm a big fan of Newport Beach, California, yep. or Manhattan Beach, California. And if I'm going abroad, I love to spend time in the Mediterranean and Europe over the summer. But of course, that can be a little more pricey because it involves expensive hotels and flights. So, you know, that kind of comes back to the idea of setting goals and saving money and maximizing your points. And so that's basically how I do it for the summer. And I definitely suggest people do it as well.
Well, give us your favorite summer travel story.
My favorite summer travel story would, hopefully it hasn't been written yet because I'm actually heading out to Russia for the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
In about 2.5 weeks. So uh-huh. I'm really excited about that. So for me, a lot of my trips revolve around sports and food. Actually, it's surprising. 23% of Americans say they've taken a culinary trip at some point. And as a foodie, I totally agree with that. But I wouldn't say Russia is a big food destination, but it surely is going to be the center of global sports this summer. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I expect to have some pretty awesome stories when I get back.
Great fun. We've got about a minute left here. Let's wrap this up. So let's talk about your top tips for researching and booking summer travel.
Well, my top tips for researching is look at a variety of sources. So, you know, whether it's guidebooks or just books, certainly blogs, some of the big aggregator sites are pretty good. But don't just take one site as gospel. Look around. Take a variety of opinions and then, you know, kind of have your own. But at the same time, when you get there, talk to the people on the ground. And if, for instance, if someone was going to come to New York, I would probably tell them to go to a different restaurant than I might have read in Lonely Planet or something like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, keep that in mind. And like I said, just save your money, save your
exactly.
points, and use them for exactly what you want to do.
Well, he's a travel expert, writer, entrepreneur, foodie, and global adventurer, Lee Abamonte, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Lee.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Thousands of people contact InventHelp monthly about their invention or new product. Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Call InventHelp now. Best of all, the call and information are free. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential, explaining every step of the invention process. We create professional materials and submit them to companies who are looking for new ideas in your category. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review new ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We offer 3D modeling and animation, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to present client ideas to additional companies. Join people just like you who made the call to InventHelp. You have nothing to lose. The call and the information are free. Call now.
800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're honored to have our next guest here, Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, who serves as the Family Research Council's Executive Vice President. General Boykin, always an honor to be talking to you. How are you, sir?
Well, Bill, and it's good to be on your program today.
Well, the president of FRC, Tony Perkins, released a statement on the Supreme Court's ruling in the masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. He says, this is a victory for Jack Phillips and our nation's long-cherished freedom of following one's deeply held beliefs without fear of government punishment. The Supreme Court made clear but the government has no authority to discriminate against Jack Phillips because of his religious beliefs. What do you say, General?
Well, I absolutely agree with Tony, and I think that this is something that is, in my view, is overdue, but I think it also sets a precedent for this kind of discrimination against people that are sincere in their beliefs, particularly as Christians. Mm-hmm. And I am very happy for Jack Phillips and his family.
Doesn't this fortify the foundation of our Constitution? And the way I read it, General, why I say this is that it seems that in this spirit age that we're in right now of trying to manage exception, that a government by exception is a government divided, is it not?
Well, certainly it is. And look, when our founding fathers reassembled there in Washington, Philadelphia, to write the Bill of Rights, or the first 10 amendments, it was very deliberate that they dealt with the freedom of religion to begin with. That was a serious issue for them, and they wanted to make sure that future generations, to include ours, would recognize and practice their freedom of religion. And that's just what Jack Phillips and the Kleins out in Oregon,
exactly,
and Baron L. Stutzman up in Washington and others have been trying to do. And when we live in an era where they are prevented or prohibited from doing that, then we are losing our constitutional freedoms.
Well, and our founders also understood, General, that at the very basis of our Constitution was a moral people. And a moral people derives that morality from God himself. So if you take God out of the picture and you compromise that connection, you compromise the standing of the Constitution, do you not?
Number one, you lose your way. Mm-hmm. You just simply lose your way. number two, you create a void, and that void is always filled by evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you begin to see things according to your own eyes, which the book of Judges takes us time and time again to, that when the children of Israel, as you say, so appropriately lost their way, what sent them in the wrong direction was that perception value, the perception that they began to see things according to their own eyes. They no longer set their focus and their North Star on the Word of God.
I think we are in a period of a possible reprieve here. Mm-hmm. I think we have an opportunity to get it right. I think the churches are waking up, that the individual Christians are starting to wake up. But what we really need to do is we need to be really looking for and expecting a revival in America, where we will get back to those founding principles, one being the freedom of religion and the ability to be able to worship freely.
Well, I like what Charles Finney had to say years ago, General. He says that a revival occurs when it's most needed. And like you, I think if there was ever a time that we needed a revival and a second chance, kind of like Nineveh. Nineveh got a second chance when they heard the word of a prophet and they responded. It started with the leadership. And the leadership that we have in our country in the Oval Office is one, not claiming that he is perfect, you know, he's perfect in any way, any more than the leadership of Nineveh was back then. But the difference was, is they could hear the word of God. And I believe that Donald Trump is listening and he's hearing the word of God. And that might be the door opener that is required for a revival here in our nation.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think what you said is very, very important for people to understand that he does not speak the language of an evangelical. And he really doesn't even fully understand the principles of the evangelical faith, Christian faith. But what he does know is that it's real. He does know that evangelicals have been the roots of his base of support. And without them, he would not be in office today. And I think that he feels indebted to the evangelicals for that reason and is doing everything he can now to support what we consider to be biblical values.
Right. Well, General Boykin, let's go to North Korea. What is your perception here as we're getting ready for an on-again, off-again, on-again summit with Kim Jong-un and President Donald J. Trump?
Yeah, here's my view. I think Trump has played this very, very well, and to include canceling the summit. I think he called a bluff, and it backfired on Kim Jong-un. That's the way I see it. But I think we've got to be very cautious about thinking that he's already made the decision to denuclearize, because I don't believe that he has. I think that he's hoping that he can get in and make a deal that would allow him to keep at least some of his nuclear program. And I got to tell you, that is not going to happen. There's either going to be no deal or he's going to denuclearize. And once he does, if he makes that decision, and he won't be in at this first meeting, if he makes that decision, I think President Trump is going to make sure that the economic incentives are very, very attractive for him. Even the security incentives are very attractive. Give him a good reason to make that decision. But the problem is he is isolated. He lives in a black hole, and I'm not sure that he gets real sound advice on these issues. That's why I think he fired these four older generals and brought in some fresh faces.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other challenge that we have is if the people at the ground level could catch the vision of what Donald Trump has cast for the citizens of North Korea, a vibrant community that suddenly would find their lights turned on. You know, time and again, we see satellite pictures of North Korea rather dark. dark. Could you imagine the lights being turned on? And not only that, for the everyday North Korean citizen, but also for the estimated 300,000 Christians in North Korea, 50,000 of them who are being persecuted and held to hard labor camps. This could be absolutely life-changing within North Korea, not to mention the international community, right?
Absolutely. And for your listening audience, I would recommend a book called Escape from Camp 13, which tells about the life in those labor camps up north, where there are people that are born and die in those labor camps and never see the outside. So I think that gives you a very vivid picture of what's going on in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And my view is that Kim has another problem, which may be looming just as large. And that is that he has an internal problem because people are starving. And starving people have nothing to lose by rising up against their government.
Exactly. And I think we got a little peek of what those camps were when we saw a United States citizen, a young man, what he had to endure and brought back here pretty much in a coma and eventually dying here. Because this was a short-term experience for him. And then I thought of the three that were just released that were so fortunate to get out of there. Boy, I'll tell you, that was an extreme revelation between those two perspectives there of what happened with Otto Warmbier and the three just released North Korean, three American citizens out of North Korea.
I totally agree with that, and I think Warmbier is a very good example. But it's hard to believe if you read that book I just talked about, Escape from Camp 13, you say this can't be. I mean, there's no place in the world that still has this kind of system. I mean, this is as dark as any society in the world today, what the North Koreans lived through. So that's why I think that Kim is becoming more and more aware of the fact that his people are starving. They are they have no medical care. They have none of the basic comforts of life, and that is that's just right. It's for them to rise up against their own leader, and I think that he does have that in the back of his mind.
Well, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin has been with us, serves as Family Research Council's Executive Vice President. General Boykin, we all must pray God's will be done on this, not only for the denuclearization of the North, the reunification of North and South families that have been separated since the 50s, based on the DMZ zone, of course, the camps that you talk about, Camp 13 and others that so many are being persecuted in. This is absolutely ungodly and horrifying. If we only really knew the whole truth, I mean, we could end up maybe realizing another Auschwitz situation that you'd have to see to believe, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, General, thank you again for coming on. Appreciate the time. Take care.
Been good being with you today. Thank you.
It's a very confusing time in the financial markets, and nobody knows that better than financial markets analyst Doug Casey. Casey Research wants to send you a free copy of Doug's controversial new book about the stock market, our economy, and American politics. Warning, this book is not politically correct. Casey is known for his outspoken and brutally honest views. He once called global warming a political scam. He's made millions betting on investments seen as too controversial by the mainstream. In this new book, Casey reveals shocking predictions about hot issues like immigration, Russia, and the next stock superboom. Doug Casey is an investing legend. Find out where he's looking for gains in spaces like tech, even cryptocurrencies. But watch out. This book is simply too controversial for bookstores. Go to totallyincorrectoffer.com to get your free copy so you can see for yourself. Shipping and handling charges apply. But be warned, this material may be taken down at any time. Just go to totallyincorrectoffer.com. That's www.totallyincorrectoffer.com. Totallyincorrectoffer.com.
Get the ultimate.